Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself in order to save us from our sins. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what's in it for me? It's very easy for us to look at our life through the lens of that question. It's very easy for us to make decisions in our life based upon perceived personal gain. It's very easy for us to look back over the course of our life and with 2020 hindsight, see that on more than one occasion we have done precisely that. Either consciously or unconsciously, we have made decisions based upon that the premise of that question, what's in it for me? Do we ever do that when it comes to our faith? Do we ever look at Christianity through the lens of personal gain? In our gospel lesson for today, we saw how Jesus' disciples did exactly that, didn't they? Well, James and John were the ones who were bold enough to go to Jesus and say, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Mark also tells us, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. We are no different from James and John. We are no different from the 10. There are times when we want to know what's in it for me. There are times when we want to know if there is personal, visible, tangible benefit to being a follower of Christ. As we conclude our sermon series, How's Your Followership?, we are going to focus our attention on a follower of Christ that gives us an absolutely wonderful example to follow. It is the Apostle Paul. Today, let's see how the Apostle Paul shows us how to live this truth. Followers of Christ make selfless sacrifices. In this portion of his letter to God's people living in the city of Corinth, God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul put a great deal of emphasis on the freedom that we have been given as followers of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul reminds this congregation, a congregation that was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, that they are free to eat whatever food they want, even if that food at one time had been brought as a sacrifice to an idol. At the very same time, Paul gave God's people in Corinth this caveat: be very careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. If what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. In the opening portion of 1 Corinthians 9, where our text for this morning comes from, Paul emphasizes that as an apostle of Christ, he has certain rights. He has the right to take a believing wife along with him on his journeys. Paul chose not to exercise that right. He has the right to receive a material harvest from this congregation because, as the Lord says, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Paul chose not to exercise that right. The overarching question that needs to be addressed, the overarching question that needs to be answered, is the question, why? Why did Paul choose not to get married? Why did Paul choose not to get paid for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to others? The answer to that question of why is found in our sermon theme for today. Followers of Christ make selfless sacrifices. Paul summarizes what this means for us when he says in the opening verse of our text, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible." A more literal translation here would be, "Since I am free from all men, I make myself a slave to all people in order that I might win over a larger number." Paul had a keen understanding of how a follower of Christ exercises the freedom that Christ won for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. A follower of Christ does not use their freedom to indulge the sinful nature. No, rather, a follower of Christ uses their freedom in joyful service. In joyful service to the one who has done so very much for us. Like Paul, we know that we belong to Jesus. Like Paul, we know that we have been redeemed. We have been bought back from the power of sin, death, and the devil, not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious, innocent blood of the Son of God himself. Like Paul, we know that on a spiritual level, we are not under any obligation to any human being. Like Paul, we know that we can live our life not having to worry about impressing anyone around us. Like Paul, we know that our only allegiance is to him. Because Paul knew that Christ had set him free as a follower of Christ, Paul wholeheartedly embraced the truth that we heard Jesus proclaim to his disciples in our gospel lesson for today. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Paul saw himself as a servant of absolutely everyone he met. While Paul knew that only the Holy Spirit has the power to create the gift of saving faith in the heart of a sinner, Paul was so totally dedicated to bringing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others that he viewed his purpose in life as gaining, as winning over souls for Christ. That's the example that we would do well to follow, my friends, with the absolute confidence of knowing that through faith in Christ, we have been given the unparalleled eternal gift of freedom. We are now free to selflessly serve Christ by selflessly serving others, with the absolute confidence of knowing that through faith in Christ, we have been given the unparalleled gift of true eternal freedom. We can now strive to follow Paul's example. Make ourselves a slave to everyone to win over as many as possible. What does this mean? Well, Paul tells us exactly what it meant for him. Look at verses 20 through 22 of our text. Paul writes, "To the Jew, I became like a Jew, to win over the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win over those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win over those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win over the weak." As powerful as these words are, they become even more powerful when we see them in the context and in the culture in which the Apostle Paul lived. Paul was not only Jewish by birth, but Paul was the epitome of what it meant to be Jewish in the culture of his day and age. Paul highlights his Jewish pedigree when he says to the Christians in Philippi, "If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." Paul's Jewish pedigree meant that he completely understood what it meant to be Jewish, while his faith in Jesus as the Messiah assured Paul that he was free from the condemnation of God's holy law, and while his faith in Jesus as the Messiah assured Paul that he was free from observing all the customs, all the rituals, all the rules, all the regulations that God's people had been following ever since the days of Moses, Paul understood. He understood what it was like to have a conscience that was bound to all of these customs and all of these observations and all of these regulations. Paul knew how to relate to the Jewish people who were still following Judaism, because he was once just like them. That bond, that closeness that Paul had with his fellow Jews gave Paul a unique advantage when it came to sharing with them the freedom that comes through faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Paul could share with them the freedom that comes from knowing that since Jesus kept all of God's law perfectly as our substitute, they were free from the guilt and the condemnation that overwhelmed them when they realized that they were not able to keep God's law the way that God demanded that they keep God's law. They were free from the futile attempts to live up to God's standards of holiness and perfection, because Jesus gives them the holiness and the perfection that they need to live with God in his kingdom for all of eternity. Look around you, my friends. There are many people today who are living under a very similar heavy burden of legalism. They may belong to a church, or they may belong to a religious organization that is very clear and very strict about what is required of them. If and when they do not measure up, the guilt and the hopelessness can quickly become overwhelming. If God allows you to cross paths with someone who is trapped under the yoke, the burden of legalism, or if you already know someone who is trapped in that kind of spiritual quicksand, use the freedom that he has given to you. Reach out to them and assure them that Jesus' selfless sacrifice on the cross of Calvary's Hill has guaranteed to them a freedom for both you and them. And you use that freedom with the goal of trying to win over their soul for Christ. This may require that you open up to them about a time when you were caught in a very similar trap. This may require that you confess to them that there are still times when your own conscience tries to place you back under that yoke of legalism. But when the Holy Spirit opens up the door of their prison, lead them to the foot of the cross on Calvary's Hill and share with them the joy that comes from knowing what Jesus has done for them. On the flip side of that very same spiritual coin, Paul talks about selflessly serving those who do not know and do not trust in what God has revealed in his word. For Paul, that was he was referring to the Gentiles, who simply did not know what God had revealed to his people in his holy word. Many of these Gentiles were living their life in the way that many people are still living their lives today, which is however they want. Did Paul shun them? Did Paul avoid them? Did Paul simply write them off and let them continue marching merrily down that wide road, completely oblivious to the fact that at the end of that road, there is a cliff that plunges them into eternal ruin and destruction? Not at all. Without compromising his faith, without denying his Lord in any way, shape, or form, Paul reached out to them with the life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who are the spiritual Gentiles of today? That question becomes very easy to answer when we look around in our life and ask ourselves, who do I know who is living their life in a way that reveals that they do not know or do not care about what God says in His Word. Who do I know who is living their life however they choose to live it, without any regard whatsoever to the fact that there is a cliff at the end of the road called life? Even if no one's face comes into focus, you know that there are many people today who can indeed be described as spiritual Gentiles. What can you do? What can I do? What can we do as followers of Christ to follow Paul's example? What we don't want to do is to simply ignore them. What we don't want to do is to act like the priest or the Levite in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan and simply pass by on the other side of the road. What we do want to do is to follow the example of Paul, who in reality was following the example of Jesus. You know that on more than one occasion, Jesus was condemned when he tried to reach out to lepers and tax collectors, prostitutes and sinners, so that he could share the truth with them and win over their soul. What we can do is step outside of our personal comfort zone and, without compromising our faith, without denying our Lord, we need to be willing to share the message of the gospel with people who might be considered to be the outcasts of our society today. This may indeed cost us. It may cost us some of our time. It may cost us some of our material resources. It may even cost us a relationship with someone that we once considered to be a friend. But no matter what it might cost, my friend, as followers of Christ, we need to be willing to live a life of selfless sacrifice. Now look at the first part of verse 22. Paul says, "To the weak, I became weak to win over the weak." Who is Paul talking about here? Is he talking about believers? Or is he talking about unbelievers? For today's purposes, let's consider that Paul is talking about both the weak believer and the weak unbeliever. There are indeed weak believers, my friends. They have faith in Jesus as their Savior, but that faith is weak. It's weak because they have neglected to feed it and strengthen it and nourish it with God's holy word and with God's holy supper. This is something that we always need to keep in mind. Paul never forgot his own past. Paul was always acutely aware of his own weaknesses, and therefore he wanted to approach the weak believers in a way that would enable him to share God's word with them, with the goal of strengthening their faith and not driving them away. Once again, we would do well to follow Paul's example. The weak unbeliever includes everyone who realizes that they don't even know how weak they are. They unknowingly give in to all sorts of sins that keep them trapped in their unbelief. We need to approach these people in a way which reveals to them that we understand. We understand why they yield to their sinful weaknesses, because there are times when we do the very same thing. Yes, they do need to hear the powerful message of God's holy law so that they can see how their sins separate them from the one and only living God. But they also need to hear the glorious message of the gospel so that God the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to bring them to faith, so that God the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to make them followers of Christ. What's in it for me? As followers of Christ, we know that the answer to that question is actually everything. Because of the freedom that Christ won for us on the cross, we have the confidence of knowing that our eternity is already guaranteed. Because of the freedom that Christ won for us on the cross, we consciously strive to avoid getting caught up in the rat race of this world. Because of the freedom that Christ won for us on the cross, we can dedicate ourselves to selfless service. Service to Him and service to others. Because of the freedom that Christ won for us on the cross, we are willing to follow Paul's example. We are willing to make selfless sacrifices in our life so that, like the Apostle Paul, we can say, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.